The Queen's Jewish Link presents the Jewish Living Podcast, the show that examines the many facets of Orthodox Jewish life. Here's your host, Izzo Zwirin.
Have you ever wondered how much you would risk to stand up for what you believe in? Would you put personal safety at risk? Would you give up your home, your friends? What about your job? How much income would you give up? Would it be a steady source or your side hustle? Hopefully none of us will ever have to be put into that situation. But today on the Jewish Living Podcast, we are lucky enough to have on someone who most certainly was. You may not know the name Susanna Levin, but if you're the type who regularly listens to this podcast, you are probably aware of her stories.
Hi, I'm Susanna Levin. I'm a graphic designer. I worked as a contract freelance designer for Ben & Jerry's for 21 years. I was part of a design team, a well-respected member of the staff at the central offices, working remotely most of the time. July 19, just after Tisha B'Av, Ben & Jerry's announced that they were going to pull out of what they call the occupied Palestinian territories. And I quit the company. I quit my job on ideological grounds.
So this week we dive into Susanna's story and what she gave up for her beliefs. So Susanna, thank you so much for joining me this week. I really appreciate it. And I understand now that you started a new job. So mazel tov to you on that.
Thank you. Well, I take on projects.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I have a couple of projects now.
All right. So let's go back a little bit. If you could tell me about your work in or with Ben & Jerry's and explain what a contracted employee is as opposed to any other type of employee.
I wasn't an employee, but by my own design, I preferred to be a contractor, meaning that I have my own business. I'm a freelance designer. So I'll provide services for a company and invoice them. It just so happens that Ben & Jerry's has been virtually my only client for the last 21 years. I've worked at times full-time, at times part-time, depending on status of my family. It was so I could raise my kids that I wanted this flexibility. That's what.
All right. So what did you actually do for Ben & Jerry's?
I have been part of the design department team. There are about six or seven of us that share the work. My artwork has been part of the company for 21 years. It's been anywhere you look, you're going to see something that I touched, whether it's in the grocery store, point of sale ads, the thing, the little stickers stuck on the freezer door, packaging,
store design.
I just designed a couple of store exteriors down in Florida. I've done a lot of interior work. I have been the main mural designer for the company. I've made scores of murals that are in scoop shops all around the world. All kinds of things.
Wow.
A lot of stuff in manufacturing too. Safety, informational signage to help the workers.
Oh, so it's really a variety. It's not just about the ice cream. There's a lot of other things going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of internal art. We have a style and a look, and if we get safety posters for the company, we want to Ben & Jerry-ize them and make them thematic. So, you know, to instill pride in product and work.
Right. So let's go back to last month when a lot of stuff happened and triggered a whole bunch of things, especially in your life. If you can walk, I know you mentioned a little bit about it in the introduction, but if you could walk us through kind of the timeline as to what happened to get you to make a very important decision in your life.
Well, for me, it started a month prior to the announcement. As a contractor rather than an employee, I wasn't party to the internal meetings, but I noticed on social media that Ben & Jerry's had gone silent, you know, during the Gaza war in May. And so for 2 months until early July, well, until their announcement in July, they made no social media mention of any kind. And during that whole time, there was a lot of pressure by various BDS organizations on Ben & Jerry's to divest from Israel. They've done this a lot before. And I think part of it is because Ben & Jerry's, you know, where Ben & Jerry's places themselves in the spectrum of intersectionality, whatnot. So the Palestinian issue seems to be part of that to these folks.
Right.
And so I asked, I started asking around. I spoke to a friend in PR who let me listen to the all company meeting in which the CEO discussed what might happen. And he said at the time, this was about 3 weeks now before the divestment. He said, it could just be a little statement. It could be a full divestment. We haven't decided yet. He said to the employees, I want to hear your opinion. I want your feedback. What questions do you have? And I listened to those questions. I mean, I was listening to a recording. Nobody really questioned it. Nobody said why. Nobody resisted it. The questions were mostly pretty mundane. And I felt very strongly that as a part of the company, that it was my job to speak up, to be, as far as I could tell, the only employee who was resisting this.
So let me ask you a question before we get into the next step.
Yeah.
So Ben & Jerry's has been famous, infamous, however you want to put it, for their political stances on a lot of issues, as you mentioned. Do you recall other people leaving the company previously for stances that they've taken, or anybody else that you know that have left a company specifically for the political stance that their company made? Not that you can recall, like, oh, you heard about this news story, but like personally, do you know people who have done this before, either within Ben & Jerry's or within your personal life?
No. I mean, I do know, I have a friend who's sort of taking a stand against some things within her own company. She thought that they should be speaking up on behalf of all kinds of other, you know, the intersectional groups and not about Jews. And she spoke up and was successful in getting her company to decry anti-Semitism, but she did that within her job.
And she didn't leave.
No.
Right. So the reason I bring that up is that this is a very new frontier for you as an employee, as a human being, that you don't really have something to base your decision on. Oh, this person did it and it worked out fine. You basically just picked up and left. It was a pretty immediate thing, especially because you're a contracted employee. It's not like you have to give like your 2 weeks notice or anything. It's pretty much, all right, I'm done.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't, there was no HR exit interview or anything.
Right.
I really haven't had any contact with anyone really.
Wow. So let me ask you the mentality that you were going through at this point. So it's pretty much like under the cover of darkness. It's immediate. It's tear the Band-Aid off. You didn't look around for other opportunities first. Yeah, you didn't necessarily have a plan. So what was going through your mind when you decided that this is it? It wasn't in your mind. Correct me if I'm wrong. It wasn't, all right, this has to end. Let me go see if I could find employment somewhere else. Let me go see if I could do something else. This was, I'm done. And whatever happens down the road, happens down the road. Is that correct?
More or less. I mean, I did have several weeks warning. After I listened to that video of the meeting, I told my boss that I was going to start escalating this and I was going to speak to the highest levels in the company. You know, I did my research and I prepared and I had a lot of really good information to share with them. And I really encouraged them to speak to other people. So I was hoping that, you know, that maybe I would have an effect, that maybe they would not make such a statement. That was first of all. But I told my boss that if they divested in any way, then that's it. I'm done. I'm not, you know, I'll leave immediately. You know, and then meanwhile, I did prepare. I mean, I've created a lot of artwork for the company. And, you know, as an artist, I need to be able to present my art to potential clients. So I took copies of artwork that I've made to use in my portfolio, mm-hmm. not in any non-proprietary kind of way.
Right.
But I was preparing for myself. Thinking that this was coming. And I spoke to my husband and I said, you know what, I think I have to leave this job. I think this is going to happen. And we discussed it and, you know, we figured that we could slide by for a while. And, you know, it just, I couldn't stay there. How could I stay there if they were going to speak, if they were going to join up with BDS. It's just completely anathema.
Exactly. And you brought up another point here that it's not just you that's affected by this decision. It's like you have a family, you have a husband. I'm assuming you have other expenses.
I have some tuitions that I'm paying this
exactly.
year.
Exactly. So it's not just like a situation where, all right, we can slide by for a little bit. It's I actually have things that need to get done, expenses that need to be paid. And so that in my mind, that's all the more reason why this is more of I'd use the word heroic, but maybe there's a slightly lighter word that you can use for it. Like it is a real stand that you have taken in this situation, especially when you're concerned about your financial security. Now, the reason that I really wanted to have you on is to talk about others that might be in the same boat. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that they're in a, no, before we get to that, just to clarify, there were no other issues that you had with the company other than their political stances on Israel. There wasn't like any HR issues. There wasn't like any anti-Semitic issues that you've been facing in the office or when you went in, or like you didn't have any of those things. This was strictly for that.
Everybody there was my friend. I did have, you know, these conversations that I had with the CEO and someone from the social mission department. You know, they weren't necessarily all positive, but these were not people that I had prior relationships with.
So the reason I bring that up is because I want to make the distinction between somebody who might have a problem in a company because of some sort of discrimination or internal strife issues versus somebody who works for a company that they don't like their political stances and are interested in leaving.
Yeah.
Now this could be for any number of reasons. Ben and Jerry's with their BDS or any company with a BDS stance would be one of them, but there could be any number of issues why somebody might be willing to leave the company because of their political stances. So for the people out there that maybe don't have the situation that you have, your financial situation that you could skirt by on a couple of months on whatever you end up doing. What advice do you have to those people that really want to leave their company, but maybe can't? They're kind of trapped.
So first of all, I could address there are other people within Ben and Jerry's who disagree like I do, but are more trapped. For instance, the franchisees. The franchisees are individuals who have invested a huge amount of their personal wealth into their franchises, that all the franchisees except franchises, all the scoop shops that we call them, the ice cream stores, except for a couple in Vermont, are locally owned. So these people have made a huge investment and they cannot just back off and walk away. And there are people in, you know, very Jewish areas where they've seen boycotts, and you know they didn't do this. This wasn't their political stance. There's a shop in the Upper West Side, the Joel Gassman.
Yes.
He and his son, I believe, own the shop together, and they made a beautiful statement on Facebook. I'm super impressed with them. You know, they said they stood up against Ben and Jerry's. They said this is not our belief. We love Israel. We support Israel, and they put their money behind it. They pledged MICER. They said 10% of their profits will go toward education in Israel is what they said they were donating to. And you can look at their Facebook page, Ben and Jerry's Upper West Side. You know, go, if you guys are in New York, go and support them.
Absolutely.
And a whole group of franchisees, I believe 30 of them, wrote a letter recently, not entirely in support of Israel, but showing I know that some of those people are very much in support of Israel. I know many of the franchisees, but the letter says that you don't speak for us when you make these statements, and you're doing damage to our business. And they're demanding that it's rescinded. So there are other actions that people can take besides quitting. You know, I feel like as a graphic designer, my field, I can apply my skills to many types of businesses. So for me, it's not as much of a sacrifice as a franchisee who might have literally millions of dollars invested and they just can't walk away.
Right. So let me ask you a question on that. Yeah. Is it possible for a franchisee to, like, what would the cost be to stop working with Ben & Jerry's and maybe switch over to Häagen-Dazs or Carvel? Or is that, I don't know if that's something
All I know is, you know, because I worked on some of the brochures years back to attract franchisees. And I just know they put a huge amount of money into their infrastructure. And the whole shop is designed for Ben & Jerry's. I mean, they would have to strip down the whole shop and do a huge renovation. It's not a small thing.
Right. It's not a simple thing.
I really feel for those guys.
Right. So while we're on the topic of boycotts, what do you think about boycotts in general? A lot of people stop buying Ben & Jerry's products. Uh-huh. Maybe I understand what you think about going to the actual store, but then there's the scoop shops, but then there's the supermarket things that are for sale. And then there's the stores that you may not know if they're franchises or if you're on vacation in Vermont at the end of the summer, which I know some people do, like, are all those scoop shops owned by Ben & Jerry's?
I think all the Vermont ones are owned by Ben & Jerry's.
Okay. So in terms of boycott, how much does that affect anything? How much does Ben & Jerry's know about those things?
I don't actually know. Yeah,
and
I don't.
You don't know. And what about you? Have you stopped eating Ben & Jerry's? Or is that something that you've been doing for a while?
Well, I am a Jew, so I'm lactose intolerant. So I wasn't eating much of it to begin with. But as soon as I quit, I went out to the grocery store and I bought some Häagen-Dazs and gave it away.
Wow. And I guess that's
so phenomenal. I'm not crazy about boycotts because I see how it's used against us personally as Jews, as people who support Israel. I haven't come out strongly for a boycott. I personally am not buying it.
Okay.
However, in Israel, if you have listeners who are in Israel or going to Israel, it's a different scene there.
Yeah.
I'm just coming from Israel myself. I was just there a week ago. I spent time with Avi Zinger, who's the CEO of Ben & Jerry's in Israel. And he really wants people in Israel to know that he's a victim of this. He didn't want this. He refused to do what they told him to do, in fact. So if you're in Israel, mamash, like, buy Ben & Jerry's.
So Ben & Jerry's Israel is not holding to the standards that the national international corporation has put out, correct?
No, they
They're a separate entity.
The statement that Ben & Jerry's put out is different from reality. First of all, they cannot pull distribution from what they call the OPT, Occupied Palestinian Territories, which I presume they mean Yehuda and Shomron. They can't do it because they're not in charge of the distribution. That is Avi Zinger, who owns an ice cream factory, and he holds a license for Ben & Jerry's. So he is not making that change because, one, it's illegal for him, for the state of Israel. He actually can't, and he also refuses. I'm not sure what else that they asked him to do over the years, but he told me that he has refused to do what they told him to do.
Wow, good for him. Yeah. And I know that he was instrumental in getting you into Israel. I mean, it's hard to do it right now in terms of COVID. But if you want to share that story, I thought you told me this. I don't know if you can, but
I guess so. Yeah, I don't want too many people to be calling him up.
Well, I don't think a lot of people are in your shoes.
Probably not. No. I mean, people know about me because this went up. I made a Facebook post and I agreed to make it public, and it just went all over the place, and I got all this positive press. And I really wanted to go to Israel. So I thought maybe somebody could get me into Israel. So I asked around a little bit, and Avi Zinger was really happy to help. And he knew some high up people. And I got an Eshor in 24 hours.
Wow, that's phenomenal. And for those people out there listening, like, I've been trying to get to Israel the entire COVID and I couldn't get in.
Yeah.
Within 24 hours, you got one. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. People kept asking me, how did you do it? I said, you wouldn't even believe it. So I got to go see my kids, my granddaughter.
That's phenomenal.
Really great.
All right. And have you ever considered, making Aliyah in light of all this, maybe going to work for Ben & Jerry's in Israel?
Yes to everything. Yeah. No, we've been planning Aliyah. We haven't gone yet, but, God willing, then the next year or two.
I know you live in Albany, I'm aware that the weather in Israel is a lot better than the weather in Albany. I wish you, at least according to me.
Well, we were northerners. We like the snow a lot.
Okay. Well, then you'll miss it. Maybe you have to visit up north in Israel when you go.
I would definitely miss the snow.
Yeah. So what are you doing now? Now that the Ben and Jerry's chapter in your life is over and done with, you've mm-hmm. moved on. If you could tell us what you're doing now and mm-hmm. Where people can find stuff that you're doing.
Oh, thanks. I received all of these very positive messages on Facebook, and among them, a lot of people personally, sent me personal messages, offering me jobs, offering me help, offering me networking. And so I've taken them up on it. I couldn't have imagined that was going to happen. As we discussed earlier, I presumed that I would be out of work for a while. And it turns out that when you stand up for what you believe in, other people who believe in that respect you. And I mean, I've had people just, heads of companies, all kinds of people come toward me and want to help. And so I'm not really looking for a job right now. I'm looking for, I do projects. So I already have two projects. I started one yesterday. And those are both directly from, people that I met through Facebook messages. Mm-hmm. One of them, it turns out, wrote to me, a great woman who does PR in New York. And she wrote to me and she didn't even know what I did, because I didn't say in my post, but she said, is there, what do you do? Maybe I can find you work, and I told her what I did. And I just did a project for her yesterday. It turns out that our sons went to yeshiva together.
Oh,
so,
wow.
What I found in this whole process, from starting my research for speaking to Ben and Jerry's to this time now, is that the Jewish world, we got very small and very warm, and people just wanted to help.
It's amazing that you received overwhelmingly positive positive feedback. Has there? I hate to ask this question because you've been so positive about it. Has there been negative also?
Very little, actually.
Wow. That's surprising in such a social media driven world.
Well, I should leave the caveat that I don't do very much social media. So a lot of it, I just didn't look. So I didn't even look at Instagram and Twitter. My friends were looking at it for me. I made a Facebook post and it got screenshotted and put up there. So, I'm a mother of teenagers. So I have an Instagram account, but it was really just so I could spy on my teenagers, which didn't work out. Everybody can attest to that.
And don't worry, they're not listening to this either.
No. So apparently there were some people that, made comment. It was mostly some anti-Israel things, not anything personal. And the other thing that happened is that there are Jewish security organizations that step up and help. And I had two different organizations that voluntarily stepped in to monitor my social media me and to make sure that there were no threats. And that just happened. I didn't ask for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But and no threats.
Not that I'm aware of.
Right.
No.
Okay. Terrific. That's phenomenal. So overall experience, looking back at this, I mean, we're not that far removed from this whole thing. But I'm going to ask you to look back at the whole experience from the spring all the way up until now. If you can give me your overall reactions to everything that's gone down in the last couple of months.
Well, when the whole thing started and I realized that, as far as I knew, that I was the only person that really was against it, it seemed a little silly, but I kept thinking about Queen Esther, how she was in the palace and she knew something that was going to befall her people. And she came to realize that it was only her, that could speak to it. And thank God this, no one was plotting our demise, but for a company that I was very personally invested in, and I felt very close to the people and to the product and had a lot of pride in it, to know that they were willing, honestly, to sell our people down the river, to join up with BDS and share that kind of propaganda. And they do propaganda. I mean, when we at Ben and Jerry's have some kind of political statement, it's not just a press release, it's a graphic, you know, and I'm in the graphics. I was in the graphics department. We would make a poster and a t-shirt and an ice cream giveaway event and a letter signing, you know, all kinds of things. And you know, and social media blasts. And, you know, the thought that not only would my company be doing it, but I or one of my coworkers could be asked to make that, to make what amounts to BDS propaganda was, of course, sickening. And that colored the whole thing. I felt very much that there wasn't a choice to be made, that it really wasn't even a decision. You know, I had to do what I did. And I, unlike the franchisees, I had the liberty to do what I did with minimal cost. And then the aftermath has been really very, very positive.
Great. That's phenomenal. I'm also like, I know people are listening, they can't see what I'm looking at right now, but I guess I'm looking into one of the rooms in your house, and I don't know if you put that up on purpose, but there's a Israel flag hanging right behind you. I don't know if that was specifically for this interview.
It's always there.
That's great. That's phenomenal. Where can people find your work if they want to, see what you can do, if they want to reach out to you?
Sure. Thanks. I just launched a web portfolio, SusannaLevinDesign.com.
You want to spell that out?
Yes, it's SusannaLevinDesign.com.
Great. And we'll, of course, link to that on the show notes and all the social medias where you follow it. We'll tag you on social media, but if you're not on it, then you won't see it. That's fine. I know that you have the social medias. I just don't know that that you'll check them, but that's
okay. I'm not a big user.
That's okay. We trust you anyway. Okay. All right. So is there anything else you'd like to leave us with? And by the way, no is an acceptable answer also.
Well, I would like to give a shout out to some of the people who helped me along the way. My sister-in-law, Susan Levin, who lives in Gush Etzion, she advised me at first and then sent me along to Avi Abelo, who makes some films also in out of Efrat, and he gave me a lot of information to help me make my arguments, and then eventually passed me along further to Bassam Aid and to the Lawfare Project. Those are wonderful organizations. Well, Bassam Aid is an individual, a Palestinian human rights activist who is against BDS. And he pledged to help me. And Lawfare Project is a wonderful legal organization to help people who, Jews who find themselves with the law against them. I didn't have a case or anything like that, but they were helping me with talking points. And then ultimately Stand With Us, who I probably could have turned to at the beginning, because they would have provided all of that information as well. So if you find yourself in a position of being the only person around who needs to defend Israel, defend the Jewish people against these kinds of, you know, spurious claims, that, you know, Stand With Us is a great resource to get help. And you turn to these people and they will just, they'll do anything for you. They just step in and help and really give you the information you need.
So that's amazing. You mentioned Lawfare Project. They were actually one of our guests a while ago, and if people want to check that one out, that's episode 35. They could check out our discussion with Zipporah Reich of the Lawfare Project. I don't know if that's who you spoke with, but no, that's who was on our show. They are a great organization, and maybe one day we'll get Stand With Us on here also.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Susanna, thank you so much for joining me this week, and I appreciate your time, and good luck with everything in your near and distant future.
Okay, thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
My thanks to Susanna Levin for joining me this week. I'm curious to hear of others who have taken drastic measures that may have been detrimental to their own self-interests in order to stand up for their own beliefs. If you know of such a story, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear it. Additionally, this is our final episode before we break for the Tishrei Yomim Tovim, so please have a Ksiva v'Chasima Tova, a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, and until after Simchas Torah, Kol Tov.
The Jewish Living Podcast is produced by Sreli Pikus. Our theme song is The Band by A.B. Rottenberg. Follow us on Facebook at The Jewish Living Podcast, and on Twitter and Instagram at Jewish_living. You can also email the show at jewishlivingpodcast@gmail.com. The Jewish Living Podcast is recorded in conjunction with the Queens Jewish Link.